Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online at DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999 under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I'm Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, editor-in-chief for the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we're back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 17-12 after beating Kansas State 74-72. JT, we start off with you. Thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Man, they came out solid. They had the lead up to as large as, I think, 12? Double digits. It got scary at the end. But, no Dan Skillings. It's something that we learned right before the game, which hurt. Sucks that, Vic got hurt. Hopefully that's not as bad as it kind of looked. Especially for him, not to get sidetracked. It's been a roller coaster season for him. Start off pretty solid. He gets sick and it gets real rocky for him. Then, he resurrects himself and is playing solid ball and they get hurt at the end. Hopefully he can play some more this year. But, CMOS through coaches, man. A lot of people stepped up. John Newman had a hell of a game. Aziz, both point guards played well. Day-Day, that windmill dunk was crazy. But him and Jizzle both gave a lot of life. But CMOS Lukosius comes through, man. When you thought they were about to blow the game, knocked down a three. They only needed two, but he knocked down a three, and they win the game, man. And it doesn't matter, how you win, as long as you win in this conference. And at the end of the day, I'll take it.
JT, did you think that Day-Day coming down that lane was going to do that windmill dunk?
No. Not the windmill. I didn't think he was going to do a windmill. That mud was clean, too.
Woo! Hey, the whole row I was in, when he dunked it, everybody leaned back like a Fat Joe video. Everybody was like, whoa!
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, and it was almost like, when somebody dunks it, everybody jumps up and get excited?
Yeah.
Like, people didn't get excited first because they were so amazed that he did that.
Yeah.
Delayed reaction. He's so bouncy, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That play was fire.
People got to see the 42-inch vert that we were talking about all season, finally.
Man, yeah, just crazy. Neil, first of all, it's Hoodie Neil today. He's got the hood up with the beard going. So your thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Yeah, overall, JT mentioned it. This was a game where they had to do it without Dan Skillings, and that was something we learned moments prior to this contest, that Dan Skillings wasn't able to go for what we know now is a hip injury. He had the MRI on Sunday, but we still have no word for the next game versus Oklahoma. But that was a huge, huge blow for Cincinnati, especially versus a Kansas State team in a must-win situation. Dan Skillings is the leading scorer of this team, but he also affects the game so heavily on the rebounding effort as well, averaging 12 points per game and then nearly 7 rebounds. That's something that's hard to replace. But then they go on the road, I think we talked about it, Meach, that CMOS Lukosius was on track to play roughly 35 minutes, and he still played 33, and he hit the game winner. But there was a time in this game where after he took that hard fall after the layup, you kind of sat back and you're like, oh, shoot, like, is he even going to be able to finish this game? Because he was on fire before going down hard. I think he started the game 3 for 3 for 7 points or 3 for 4, something like that. He finished with 13, but his 3 at the end, time after time after time again, when the Bearcats needed a basket in desperate measures, it has been CMOS Lukosius. And Jerome Tang even said it. That was just a player making a play. CMOS rose up from 3-4 feet behind the arc and buried it home, and that was a play that wasn't even drawn up for him. The number one option was Jizzle James. So overall, the freshman made the smart read, and his option wasn't there. And he made the veteran move and kicked it out to one of the Cincinnati's best shooters in CMOS Lukosius. And buried home the eventual game winner. And then Victor Lockin going down with the injury as well at the end is not a sight you would like to see, because Vic was playing very well. He had a great 9-point, 11-rebound performance versus Houston. And then he comes back and he has 6 and 7 on Saturday versus Kansas State. And then he looked to be what maybe turned an ankle there in the final segment of this one. Still got no update on him. But overall, I mean, there was a lot of positives to take away. But one thing we got to give credit to is Bob Mangine really got his minutes on Saturday. And you got to give a shout out to Bob for the job he did getting those young men back on the court as well.
Well, you know, Neil, one thing I want to talk about with CMOS is, you know, at the beginning of the year, we talked about CMOS potentially being the leading scorer on this basketball team. I mean, that was mentioned several times. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he went through that rough patch. It's really good to see CMOS kind of getting his stride right now. And I don't even think he's really even scratched the surface of what he's capable.
Yeah, and I think I could agree to that. I mean, I think all of us could agree to it, if we're being honest. I mean, this was a guy a couple months ago. I mean, he battled an ankle injury. I mean, he literally got hit by a car, and then you had questions. Like, as soon as you heard that, it was like, oh, is he even going to be able to play? I mean, this has been a guy who has battled so much throughout this season, up and down, anything you name it. CMOS Lukosius has had to go through it this season. But you have to give credit where credit is due for his perseverance, his toughness, his tough, gritty, everything he's done for this team on and off the field. I mean, he could have easily folded and said, oh, this is just one of those seasons where I'm just trying to push through it. But he has shown, like, he has been one of the probably one of the biggest priority transfers that Wes Miller brought in this offseason. And just by his performance, I mean, fans are starting to get a glimpse of what CMOS Lukosius can do on the court. But he's still going to be a guy that is going to see his role significantly increase potentially as the season goes on and throughout next season as well.
Well, just, hey guys, I just got a couple thoughts on the game. Listen, I don't care how we win, as long as we get a dub in the Big 12, that's all that matters. And quickly on CMOS, before we stop talking about him for this particular game versus Kansas State, after the game, CMOS came out and introduced his brother and his father to me. They flew in from Lithuania. So that was really cool. So I met his father, and I said to CMOS's father, I said, you know, how you doing? My name is Alex. And then his father said his name, and I was like, ooh, you got to say that one again. I don't even remember how to say his dad's first, but if we were doing the name game, Neil, yeah, you would definitely be struggling with that one. But he told me I did a good job saying it. Saying his name. So I met his brother, and I asked his dad, because, you know, CMOS's dad coaches, and I asked him, I said, you know, your son's been playing well as of late, you know, how you think he's doing? And CMOS's dad was like, I was like, dang, he's hard on his son. He said, So CMOS was like, man, I just hit like a game-winning shot, dad. So that was good to see that. Also, after the game, I got a chance to meet John Newman's family. They were all at the game. I hadn't met his family yet. And John was introducing me to everybody. I think his aunt was there, mother, father, and I can't remember if there were cousins or something. And so when John introduced me to his mom, John was like, that's the guy I did that podcast with. She was like, oh, my God, I've listened to that like 2 times. I love it. I love it. So I just want to tell you guys that she loved the interview we did with her son. So
that's dope.
Shout out to Newman family. I'm glad he played well in front of his family too, as well. A couple things. So only other thing I want, you guys pretty much hit on everything that needs to be hit on. But I thought John Meeker, former Bearcat walk on, great legend. We sat together at the game, and he pointed out something that I thought was great. I just want to say this real quick. So we were talking about Wes Miller. When I asked Meeker, I said, have you had a chance to like talk with Wes, and what do you think? He was like, yeah, man. He was like, I absolutely love him. And John goes, you know, the thing that really sticks out to me, he goes, this is beyond what we see on the court. And he goes, look at Ray Vaughn, who's redshirting. Look how engaged he is. cheering for his team, jumping up and down. And then John goes, look at Odie. Odie's like, you know, so happy for his team. And then, like, on cue, Odie gets in the game. You remember this at the end of, I think it was in the, like, the first half, right?
Yeah. First half, yeah.
Odie, like, goes in the game, like, right on cue. It was a little bit after John had made this comment. And Odie sprints on the court, was excited just to get however many seconds he did. And he was like, man, that's a true testament of a good coach that players just absolutely love. And I was like, man, John, I think that's a great point. I'm going to say that on the podcast. So I just want to give a shout out to Meek. He said that. So that's all I have in regards to that game. But listen, we got to move on because the Bearcats take on Oklahoma on Tuesday at 8 p.m. in Norman. And you're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Let's jump into the Big O segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch and key matchups. JT, who should we look out for from the Bearcats?
Man, all right. So we're going on the road. We don't know what Dan Skillings is going to be. You know, if he's going to be there, going to be able to play. I know he's on. I seen him on the plane, on the pictures. But I don't know if he's playing. I'm going with CMOS, man. I want to see he's going to have to carry more load. See if he can just keep rolling, man. I want to see, you know, his dad said he played Let's see if he can turn that and. Yeah, he's balling. But he has been playing well. But I think on the road we need 12 to 18 points. You know, I say 3 assists from him. And then 2 to 4 rebounds.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking from CMOS against Oklahoma.
Oh, by the way, CMOS's brother and his father, I think they told me, I forget how long, their trip to get here from Lithuania is crazy, like how long it takes and all the stops.
It's like a day or something?
It had to have been, JT. Like,
it sounded like it.
It sounded ridiculous. Like, sounds so, like it. They said they're staying here for the rest of the season. So they're not going to the Oklahoma game. They're actually going to be in Cincinnati.
Oh, for real? Nice. They're going to be at Mio's?
I don't know. That'd be a good idea. We need to do the podcast with him. that would be crazy to do like a live pod with
the parents.
Yeah.
We need to make that happen because remember when we had CMOS on, we talked about how Coach Adams went out and saw his family out in Lithuania. Now we got to get their side of the story, too.
We didn't have CMOS on.
Oh, that was a different one, but different podcast with Russ. When I had Russ on, he was telling us about how Coach Adams went out there and really spent a bunch of time with his dad out there in Lithuania. So gotcha. We need to get the story.
Neil, you're on like 7 podcasts, bro.
I'm losing track, man. I'm losing track.
JT, he's like on a weather podcast. I saw him on the Food Network. He was on the Food Network last week. I was like, is that him?
Hey, for I was whipping it up in the kitchen. You don't know what I'm going to eat. It's probably chicken tenders, but you never know.
Yikes. Neil, let's just go right into you, man. Who do we need to watch out for from Oklahoma?
Yeah, so for Oklahoma, I mean, they're led by point guard Javion McCollum. I think that is the key player to kind of keep an eye on in this one. This was a guy who averaged or scored 16 points in the first matchup. He didn't really shoot the ball that well in the first matchup. I believe he was just 6 for 16 on that matchup. So they got to find a way to really contain him, make sure he can't get going. But for Oklahoma, if they can find a way to get big man Sam Goodwin into foul trouble again, I think they're good. Sam Goodman's a 7-foot center. He's leading the team in rebounds. He's averaging nearly 6 rebounds a game. I mean, yeah, that's not good for a 7-footer averaging 6 rebounds. I mean, he should be pushing close to 8-9 rebounds a game. But he's a guy that stands out big to mine just because he only played 11 minutes last time. But 7-footer, Oklahoma's got some size in the paint. And since he wasn't really an option there in the first one, he's been an option here as of late as conference play has gone forward. And then Jalen Moore. I mean, he was a guy who was fantastic in the first conference game as well in the Bearcats 69-65 loss. And that was a guy who finished with a double-double in that performance. So those are the guys that highlight Oklahoma. So if they can find ways to contain those three guys or even just contain one of them, they can't let them get out and beat them on the glass like they did in the first matchup. So, and Jalen Moore was a key part in that. I mean, double-double performance. So those three guys are really what makes this Oklahoma team go. But Saturday's Tuesday's context, is going to be a little different just from what it was about a month ago. So it's going to be an exciting matchup on Tuesday night for sure.
You know what time it is. All right, it's time for the name game, Bearcat fans. Every episode, we have Neil Meyer play the name game and try to say the names of players on the opposing team. Sometimes they're tough names. You know what? I usually throw a curveball at you, but actually, I want to stick to this Oklahoma roster again. So, go to Oklahoma's roster, Neil.
Sounds good. I'm all ready when you are.
All right, number zero.
Betray Darthard.
Not bad. Number three.
Otega Owe.
He's on point, JT, right now.
Yeah.
Number 11.
Number 11 is Yaya Kiete.
Yeah, I like how you said that. That last name again.
Kiete.
Number 12.
Milos Uzin.
Uzin for bruising. Number 13.
Max Klanjek.
And Max is spelled
M-A-K-S.
M-A-K-S. That's interesting. I've never seen that. I wonder where he's
Slovenia.
From.
He's from Slovenia.
Ah, gotcha. And, you know, I wanted you guys – are you guys looking at the JT, are you on the roster?
Yep.
Go to the support staff. You're chuckling already. Go to the support staff.
All right.
And go to Dylan – how do you say that last name,
Mahalki.
How old is dude? He looks like he's like 10.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, how old is that kid look?
Especially as the director of analytics, that's pretty tough. He's fresh out of college for sure.
He fresh out of sixth grade.
He's fresh out of, man, he's like, he ain't even at middle school yet.
It looks like he's going to school with JT's kids.
Man.
I got to click on homie's bio here. Let's see what Dylan's up to. Oh, man. Man,
he's baby faced.
You need to get a mustache. he look like he definitely can't buy. He can't even buy cigarettes if you want it.
Hey,
don't smoke, kids. But he can't. He can't buy. He can't even go. Didn't you gotta be 18 to play the lotto?
He's probably like 26.
Oh man, that is too funny.
Damn, dude looks so young, man. He got to get him a little goatee or something. That's crazy. Yeah, he Benjamin Buttons.
Oh man, I saw his picture and I immediately said, "Forget the name. We've got to talk about this, man. We got to
get that's one. Crazy. Do you think they use an old picture?
No, they couldn't.
Look at his shirt. Look at the collar.
Yeah,
doesn't even fit.
True.
Yeah, that's he's young. He's a young cat.
Yeah.
We gotta start getting these guys on the podcast, man.
Yeah, they'll definitely be down.
Yeah, we gotta start
asking two questions.
What was what was the guy from last episode's name? Yak Yak.
Yak.
Good old Yak. Oh, the Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. All right, quickly, I'll get into my player to watch. You know what? I feel like, sometimes I'm just so off on these. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to say Dan Skillings. I don't even know if he's going to play or not. If he plays, Dan Skillings go off. he's going to go off if he plays. I think I don't know why, but I have a feeling if he does play, he's going to, hopefully he's healthy, but he's going to have this energy to go out there and play well. So that's all I got. I'm rolling with Dan Skillet. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks or can't afford NetSuite? Get Loyal Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They have been in your position and would love to help you solve your problems. They can be contacted at 513-739-9473 or smartdog-solutions.com. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Kenyon segment sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. This is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what do the Bearcats need to do to win?
All right. Take care of the ball that they did against Kansas State. That was a welcoming sight. Win the rebounding battle. I think you said, Neil, didn't Oklahoma beat the Bearcats on the glass first game at fifth third?
Yep, 42-36 in the first matchup.
All right. So if they need to keep that within two or win it outright. And then less than 12 turnovers is my key, but I think they only had six turnovers against Kansas State. I wouldn't mind another performance like that. And like I said, on the road, man, they can't shoot in rhythm shots. You're not gonna make every shot, but shoot in rhythm shots, please. And just I'm gonna be heavy on the lob. Just control the lob passes. just control the lob passes. That's the only negative thing. That's the main negative thing I got. Just control the lob passes. Like, make sure the lob pass is there. Please. Because people are scouting it, man. I'm telling you, they know that team is throwing lobs. So just make sure.
JT, sometimes you don't even have to scout it because they throw so many wild. The Bearcats throw some wild. Let them throw it because it's going to be wild.
It's going to be way in the. Just play it off. Play it off the bounce. Like it was like, just control the lob passes, please. But and that in turn will like, because sometimes they'll still catch it and it's like, just. And then they don't score, you know what I mean? So just control the lob. That's almost a turnover that doesn't get counted sometimes. So just make sure it's there if you're going to throw it. And then that's the main thing, man. Don't shoot goofy shots, because on the road, Oklahoma's, they just lost a tough one to Houston. So hopefully they're deflated, but they're a team that's on the bubble. So they're going to give the Bearcats their a hell of a fight, and the Bearcats got to be ready. So they got to play clean. I would love them to win the rebounding battle, keep turnovers down, and not shoot goofy. Not goofy shots, but don't shoot in rhythm. Just no matter what, shoot in rhythm.
So, Neil, can the Bearcats go on the road and win big? And if so, what do they need to do?
Yeah, for them to win big, I mean, it starts with the rebounding battle. I mean, that was something that they cannot allow Oklahoma to do. Now, yes, that depends on the status of of Dan Skillings and Victor Lockin. Overall, if both of those guys are able to go, I think this could be a game where the Bearcats could win fairly big, but they got to win the rebounding effort. They cannot let Jalen Moore go for a double-double yet again. And they have to find a way to steal a couple offensive boards, and second chance points is what they would need to do in order to really win big. But if they can do what they did against Kansas State and limit your turnovers under 10, you're in great condition as well. I mean, that's something they did well versus Kansas State. I think they only had one turnover up until like the last 2 minutes of the half. So if you can only give, I think they finished the first half with three. So if you can go a first half with only three turnovers, put your foot on the gas and just don't look back, because Oklahoma's sitting ranked 19th in the AP polls that came out this morning. And overall, this is another huge opportunity for them. I think they're capable of going on the road and getting it done. But for them to do that, they have to limit the turnovers. And I think if Dede Thomas and Jizzle James and John Newman, Simas Lukosius play like how they played on Saturday, the Bearcats can go in and get that done. But those are going to be the two main emphasis on this game. Win the rebounding margin and limit your turnovers.
The Kenyan segment is sponsored by Greg Hood at Beachmont Toyota. Hey, once again, I'll actually keep this short. I had here in my notes, and you guys kind of touched on this. Let's just come out and have a great offensive performance, period. A great offensive performance on the road. And, like, JT, like you talk about a lot, taking good shots and rhythm in the flow of the offense. Because, you know, sometimes you get caught up on the road. You want to be a hero. Crowd's going crazy. You want to hit that shot to shut them up. And sometimes it gets in your head and you take bad shots. They need to take good shots in rhythm within the offense. JT?
Yeah, for sure. In the rhythm, if they can get some scoring in the paint is key always. I feel like points in the paint, whether by drive or by post, that's going to help. And just playing a rhythm, man, because it just makes it easier. Because if you ball stop, shoot a bad shot, and then it's a long miss, you know, that normally leads to them to get an easier shot. So if you're shooting good shots, and then occasionally it's going to be a long miss occasionally, no matter what. But the flow, spacing is going to be right, so everybody's going to be in better spots. So it just makes everything that much more easy for transition defense, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully they can make more so they can set their defense up. They're not scrambling. So,
absolutely. You know, I often look at, like, when you think about football, right? You run the ball to set up the pass.
Yep.
And I feel like getting the ball, like you just talked about, JP, in the paint, run, you know, drive the ball to the basket. That's going to open up jump shots. That's going to open up point shots, you know, and then I think your offense flows better. If you start early shooting too much from the outside, I think it just disrupts the whole flow of the offense and the game. So hopefully they're able to start off pretty hot and keep that flow going through the entire game. Because I feel like if they play within the offense, have some consistency, they'll have that confidence to stay with it, like to play good, smart basketball the entire time.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Neil, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can come out to a good start, shoot the ball very well. I think they'll be in great control, but they have to come out, make the smart shots. If they can do that, if you can start this game, let's go realistically shooting 40% or higher through this first half, on Tuesday night, I think they'll be in good hands.
Absolutely.
For sure. You can't come out, give them a 12, like no 12-0 runs to start the game.
Yeah, no big runs. You can't give up those little.
Unless we're going to get the 12-0 run, but you can't. Don't let them come out and they've got a 15-0 run and we done shot 0-7.
Can't have what they had.
Four turnovers. Allow three offensive rebounds.
No crazy lobs. You're good.
Yep.
You know, if like one of the things, I'm going to watch the game tomorrow with my father. And if like Oklahoma starts the game 12-0, my dad's like, we're going to lose this. This is over. He's like, we're not going to win this. So Bearcats, please come out. You make the 12-0 run. So my dad feels like we're going to win this game.
Yep.
The Kenyan segment, Keys to the Game, was sponsored by Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. This is where we cover hot topics. And once again, I've not prepped you guys on this, so my hot topic today, I was thinking about this earlier. So I've had a crazy day today doing a lot of stuff, getting ready for AU tryouts. And early this morning when I got up, I was watching SportsCenter and they were talking a little bit about NBA, the NFL, MLB, and they were showing different stadiums. And it got me thinking, and I don't know where you guys have been before, but JT, I'm going to start with you. If you could go to one football stadium, one NBA arena, and one baseball stadium, one for each, which one would you Which ones would it be?
Like that I haven't went to?
Yep.
Okay. See, shit, this is tough. All right. As many times I've been in Chicago and the Cubs have been there, I need to go to Wrigley Field.
You've never been to Wrigley?
No. Hmm. I would say there, and then Boston's. I don't even pick one, but there in Boston, the Green Monster, I kind of need to.
That's a good one.
That it would be a toss up between those two, coin flip. And I disrespected myself. I could have already been a Wrigley, so that's on me. But see, NFL.
Have you been to Levi?
I've been to Levi. Yep. Okay. I've been to Levi.
I heard it wasn't that nice.
It's not bad.
Okay.
I didn't think it was bad. I thought Atlanta's is way doper to me.
Is that Mercedes?
Yeah. Yep. Mercedes-Benz is doper. But Levi ain't bad to me. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't bad. I was like, this is a good stadium. I thought it was nice.
Okay.
Even in the high, I thought they had good sight views and everything. Respectable food prices for especially for California inside of there. And I thought it was cool. It's probably like a top 10 stadium, I would think. But I ain't been to enough. But I'm trying to see which one because I've never been to Jerry's World. So
Jerry's World's nice. That's nice.
So I'll say Jerry's World.
Okay.
That'd be my one. And then for basketball, NBA, let's see. It's not called Staples no more. What is it called?
Crypto.
But keeping it a bean, let's see. Because I've been outside of it. That's not inside. Outside of it before. So I'll say Boston's spot. Just because of the history and stuff.
Okay.
I'll change it up. I'll go Boston stuff, even though I hate Boston, but they're super historic. So,
all right, Neil, you're up.
Yeah. So for favorite football stadium, you're going NFL stadium, right? That's where we're rocking with, or can it be like a college? Because like the Rose Bowl Stadium is something I've always wanted to experience.
All pro.
Okay, NFL. I want to go to Allegiant. The new Sphere out in Vegas. That'd be a good one.
That's a good one. I could not think of it. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one out there in Vegas. I know my dad just actually worked the Super Bowl for his part-time job, and he was telling me how crazy that stadium was, and he was showing me a bunch of pictures and stuff, so I do want to check that out. And then baseball, that's tough. I got to see Kauffman on the outside, but they're actually tearing Kauffman down, so I don't want to see a game there. I want to wait till the new stadium's built. But if I had to go right now, I think you would have to go out to the Dodger Stadium. I do want to check out the Dodger Stadium because I've been to Wrigley, as JT mentioned. So, yeah, there's quite a few MLB stadiums I've been to. And then professional basketball stadium? Oh, that's tough. I think you would have to go with just Madison Square Garden. I think that's just the easy answer for this one here. I mean, off the top of my head, Madison Square Garden's that's one place everyone has to check out if you love basketball. So I'd go with Madison Square Garden.
Okay. Pretty good. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Okay, I'll start with baseball. I'm going to go Oracle. I'm going to go with that. San Fran. The Giants. Right. I want to check that out.
Are we going to catch you out there on the river where home run balls coming out?
What's that?
You going to be one of them guys out there on the river where the home run balls come out on the Allegheny?
I'm going to have a little boat. I'm a little boat out there and have a little sailor hat on. Yeah, that'd be me. That looks cool, though. Like,
I always thought
the Giants State. And wasn't it crazy that they had, like, you know, the home runs were going to water and they had Barry Bonds, like, the guy that was hitting on a home run, like, I thought
Barry
Bonds
was hitting three bombs out there a week just with ease.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Have you seen him now, by the way?
No.
So he got into cycling. I don't know if he still is today, but last time I saw a picture of him, he was into cycling. I think either his girlfriend or his wife, his current wife or whatever the relationship is into cycling. Man, he was like skinny, cut up. I was like, what? I was like, that don't look like the same human being.
Like that's a crazy
person. Yeah, I don't know how he looks today, but the last time I saw him, he was cycling and lost a lot of weight. So I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Oracle. I've been to Wrigley, JT, and I sat in the bleachers.
Okay.
Yeah. It was cool. Nice. It was cool. It was cool. It's always cool when you go to those places you always hear about. And it's like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You go to Chicago, you like, you gotta go to Wrigley Field, blah blah blah. I didn't think about Boston. That's a good one. Because when I was young, man, that they call it the Green Monster, right? Is that what they
Yeah.
I was always fascinated by that as a kid. Because, you know, when you're a kid, everything seems bigger than what it really is.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy.
Yep. JT, thinking about that now, I hate to interrupt you, Meech. JT and I passed up the opportunity to go out to Fenway when UC played in the Fenway Bowl. We passed up because of the season they had last year. And the coaching change, we didn't make that trip when we could have.
Ah.
Yeah.
JT slipping. It was JT's fault.
Yeah. And I've been in Chicago multiple times when the Cubs are there. And I've literally like kicked it like right by where the stadium's like where the stadium was at. And I didn't. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things when I go to a new city or a city I've been to a couple times, I do try to check out their professional sports if they're in season.
Yeah.
Like I just was in Seattle. And I'll talk about football in a little bit, but I was just in Seattle and I went to a Mariners game. That was pretty cool. That stadium was a lot bigger than I thought. It was pretty cool. So baseball, definitely Oracle. You know, NBA, God, the funny thing is I've always wanted to see a game at Golden State, the Warriors, at the Chase Center.
Okay.
And I just went to a game out there.
So the new one?
The new one.
Okay. You know, that's like right by the it's super close to where that baseball stadium is now.
Yeah, I just was there.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I literally just was there. I went to a Golden State game. Matter of fact, I went to a Golden State game.
The camera's back for the photo.
What's going on? Yo, what's happening here?
Bearcat fans, this is. You want to tell them what's going on? Wow. Tell
them what's going on. Finally decided to work after a year and a half.
You know, this is crazy.
This is
what it messed me up. I looked up.
What? So for a year and a half, Bearcat fans, for a year and a half, we've been recording this podcast, and my camera has not worked on my computer when we do this. I can see JT. I can see Neil. They can't see me. And all of a sudden, my camera pops on.
This is crazy.
What is going on?
This is crazy.
This is weird. You think this is a sign?
I don't know, man.
It's a sign. Bearcat's
about to win by 15, baby.
I sure hope so. I even got confused. I was like, wait a minute, is that me?
Yeah, it threw me off. It threw me off. I looked up.
Wow. That's crazy. All right, yep. People listening are probably like, what are they?
Hey, so, man, they tripping. Yep.
So I did go. So I went to a game at Golden State. Man, that was crazy. That fan base there. And it helps that they've been so successful. And I think, you know, you got a guy like Steph Curry, Draymond. They just have that. I think those guys just create that energy there. And that stadium was, man. I tell you what, it was rocking. Or that arena, excuse me. So football, I would go. I've always been fascinated with Lambeau Field.
Mm.
I'm not a Packers fan, but
yeah, a lot of history.
Yeah, a lot
I'm
of
definitely people. Thinking about that one too.
Like you always hear, like it's been sold out. It's hard to get a ticket. You know,
yeah, people like it's crazy. Like you gotta like, I feel like people are like on the wait list, and it's like to like 2050 or something like that to get season tickets. It's something crazy, man. They did like a special on it like a few years ago. It's like ridiculous.
That's crazy. You know, when I was in Seattle last summer, I got a tour of Lumen Field.
Okay.
And did we talk about this? Did I tell you about this?
I don't know.
So I got a tour of Lumen Field. There wasn't a football game going on, which I would love to actually go to a game at Lumen Field because they say it gets really loud in there. But so we went to the top, and there's like a overflow deck.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Where you can like, you know, just stand and watch the game. I tell you, I told the person giving the tour, I was like, there's no way I would stand here. Man, it looks like the stadium. So it's, I don't know how to explain the stadium, but I mean, it almost just goes down.
Okay.
Like so hot. You know how some stadiums just go, I assume Levi Stadium just is like a huge, right? It just goes like around.
Yeah,
right?
It's around. It goes high, but it's like, it's more wide. I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't feel like you're about to fall. Like, you know what I mean? Even though
that's how Lumen was. Like, that's how that deck, I felt like I was going to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I would never stand here. By the way, I went to that Chiefs-Bengals game at Kansas City. Arrowhead was not that loud.
Really? Yeah, they be saying Arrowhead, like, super loud.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. It wasn't loud. So my buddy Jarrett, who works for the Chiefs, he told me that since they've won so many Super Bowls, they've been doing so well, they've jacked the ticket prices up. So it's kind of – the prices have pushed out the crazier
the rowdier.
What?
The rowdy fan. The rowdier fan.
Correct. So you have more of the maybe wine and cheese crowd type of
– Yeah. Moment.
Yeah, because I'm
it's like a gift and a curse.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're getting more money, but like my buddy was with me and he was like, I'm a little disappointed. Like, I thought it was gonna be even when the Bengals had the ball at one point, and it was like, this is a crucial point. Like, and the crowd kind of loud, and I'm like, I don't hear it. Now they did say that when they play the Raiders, it is bonkers in there. They said the Raiders just they do not like the Raiders. Like the Bengals can say, you know, we don't like Kansas City. We don't, Bengals fans don't like the Steelers. But they said the Chiefs hate the Raiders, man. They said it's a lot of fights in the crowd. But so I'm going to say Lambeau. Lambeau would be mine. So, but Neil, quick, in terms of college, I have never been to see Duke play at Duke. I've never been there. Have you guys?
I want to go there. I want to go there in North Carolina, but I really want to go to Duke. I know it's like a smaller arena.
I will say, you guys, if you haven't been to Allen Fieldhouse, I would recommend Allen Fieldhouse as well.
That's another good one.
Yeah.
Just because I was blown away by Allen Fieldhouse when we went up there when UC played, just because of how accessible it was. It was ridiculously accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they let the fans, like, in the building before, like, to camp out, basically, for student sections. Like, there was kids lined up at freaking 1 o'clock on the afternoon. The game didn't tip off until, like, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock that night.
Is it always like that?
Yeah. We were talking to security guards and some people in the athletics department. They're like, this is every game. Like, Ravon Griffith had 5,000 people roughly watching his pregame workout.
Man,
that's crazy.
So,
that's interesting.
And with Allen Fieldhouse, there is no seats in the arena. It's all wood back. Like, it's all old wood, modern bleachers.
JT, the Clippers are building that new arena.
They're leaving. Oh, yeah.
I got to check that one out.
Yeah, isn't it? Because then they went into old form and they like rebuilt it, like tore it down and rebuilt it pretty much.
I don't know.
I think it's in that area for sure. I think wherever the old forum, the LA forum was at.
Wow.
That was what they bought. They bought that lot. Hmm. I don't know if they gutted it and redoing it or if they just, I think they might have tore it all the way down. But it's literally that area though, from what I remember.
Interesting.
Yep. That should be pretty dope.
I went to a Clippers game at the Staples Center, and it was a Clippers home game. And when I went, it was different. Like, people didn't like the Clippers. Like, they weren't, well, I should say they didn't like the Clippers. They weren't excited about a Clippers game like they are. The Lakers is just a Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like Clippers game was a little boring. They didn't have like a lot of, like, now they've got some big time players now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure.
So I'm interested. Aren't they building, don't they have a thing called the wall? The Clippers, where it's like the fans. It's like they got like a fan section called the wall, I think.
No, do they? I don't know.
I think it's called like the walls. I got to look into that because the Clippers owner, what's his name? Bauman, the billionaire.
Yeah.
He was putting a lot of, they were going to make this one the like next level stuff in there. So
it's probably crazy. Yeah. You need to rub elbows with him, see if you want to be a sponsor.
That'd be nice. Then my camera definitely would work the entire season. I get a new laptop.
For sure. Everybody get a new laptop.
Oprah, you get a laptop. You get a laptop. Oh, man. The Twyman segment was sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcat student athletes. They specialize in high-quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, and pre- and post-construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contact online at visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. I want to remind Bearcat fans out there, I will be at Mio's this Saturday. My special guest will be the legendary Steve Logan. So we'll be there before the West Virginia game, 12:15 to 1:15. And fellas, we just did our walk-on podcast. I had John Meeker, Brandon Miller, and Zach Tobler on the podcast at Mio's. It was great, great time. And for those fans that haven't listened to our interview with John Newman, please go back and listen to that. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services, a leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online at DonahueAccountingService.com. Thanks to all the Bearcat fans for listening to another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. Go Bearcats!